It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
All right, and welcome to Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams this afternoon as he's busy. I will say this, a little quick intro and a shout-out. So I'm Sean Sullivan with FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, the other end of the state. But got to give shout-outs to folks in Huntsville and New Hope, where we have family. So, yeah, some Tennessee Valley folks. Hello to them. I'm from the other end of the state, but we do visit up there. I'm down here with all the sand and the dive bars, right, and the beach life. That's what they think everything is, right, in Southwest Alabama. Well, there's a lot more to it and a lot more to talk about on today's show. A lot of guests joining us for today's show, and of course, we'll get your phone calls as well right here on Right Side Radio. And I'm going to start off, this will be the shock effect here. As I start off this show with, as I explained, I'm from the other end of the state, with our congressman from down here in AL1. I know y'all are in AL5, but our first guest, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, joins us as we get started on Right Side Radio. Congressman Carl, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean Sullivan. Are you trying to keep up with Michael Pence and become a national radio figure and move on to become vice president?
Well, I don't know that that's in the cards for me, but I was pressed into service, and I'm more than happy to help Phil Williams out. So it may not be that aspirational, but yeah, we're gonna have a good time this afternoon. Congressman Carl, our congressman down here in AL1, but I think what we're getting ready to talk about on the show here is important to folks all over the state of Alabama, all over our country. Your time and with House Armed Services brings a lot of this conversation into the mix. So I want to get from you the latest from your perspective in Washington on the situation with the United States and Ukraine. Congressman, what's the latest?
Well, first of all, you know, we're using a lot of Huntsville products and a lot of Huntsville technology in this, not just Ukraine, but Israel and all over the Mideast. So hooray for Huntsville. I'll tell you, it brings me a lot of pride when I see their name on stuff, especially on the Ukraine issue. But, yeah, you know, Ukraine, it wasn't in a classified meeting, but I'm told that the not delivering the plane would start making sense pretty soon. I actually saw on TV they were talking about an air defense missile system that was being set up there. I know that we had some money to move through the Senate, and, of course, the president waved it on, too. And I've got a feeling they got an air defense system being set up over there. But what a tragedy. I mean, just, you know, I saw an article today, and they were talking about so many thousand children had been kidnapped by the Russians. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's true, this man needs to be tried. I mean, that war crimes is, you know, it certainly fall in line with what Putin is doing. Now he's got the, you know, that butcher, I forget what his full title is, but he's supposed to be taking this war over, and it's not going to get any better for a while. But we look for him to pull back more to the east. We look for him to stay on the east side of the river and try to set up and keep that open, Putin. And, you know, we talked about that very early on. That's what we thought he was going to do. Obviously, he jumped over that. I don't think he's going to give up Odessa. I don't think he's going to give up any of the coastline. That's just me. That's real estate that's hard to replace. So we'll see. But we've got to be so proud of what the Ukraine people have actually done in their fight back. And I want to give a shout out to the Armed Service Committee from 7 years ago, Mike Rogers. 7 years ago, they saw a need to take the Ukraine Army and teach them. So we've been over there for 7 years. It was budgeted in 7 years ago, and we've been training that Army. So a lot of what you see happening right now actually came from the Americans that went over there and trained them ahead of time. So, you know, big shout out to Mike Rogers and everybody on the Armed Service Committee 7 years ago. They had the foresight of it.
You know, Congressman, we're looking at a situation where we're talking about how the Ukrainians win. But one of my questions is, how does peace arrive, right? And your perspective there, that how do we get a peace? You talk about the pullback, the Russians now kind of refocusing there in the east. Are you hearing anything that might be enough of the apple that they bite off that ends there? Or are we looking at a situation where he will continue pushing? And how far You know, does he go? I mean, I can't imagine he would step on NATO lines.
You know, Putin has really proven himself to be very imbalanced in his decisions here lately. So I wouldn't put anything past him. You know, we've got the Israelis that are communicating with him. We've got the Chinese that are communicating with him. We've got some allies, not Chinese, but the Israelis and some of the other countries, the Germans that are communicating with him. How do they come to some conclusion on this? I truly don't know. I don't know if if Ukrainians are prepared to give up a portion of their country. I understand that was heavily Russian influenced anyway. I don't know, but we've got to find a way that both of them can declare victory and separate them.
Yeah,
I mean, Ukraine's got it'll be years and years and years before those people can get back to what we would consider a normal life, because it's just destroyed. It's horrible.
Hey, Congressman Carl, the question here on you said earlier about holding Vladimir Putin guilty of war crimes and extracting some punishment there, or let's say extracting money to rebuild Ukraine. Both scenarios, to me, would require going into Russia. I mean, other than Slobodan Milosevic and others, we've had a hard time extraditing people out to The Hague, to war crimes. I mean, how would we ever get Putin if he's still in control?
Well, you and I have had the same conversation, and my firm belief is going to be the oligarchs that take everything over. You know, they'll dictate, you know, how long he stays in office and how he stays in office when it's all said and done. You keep cutting off access to money, to products, to business, and especially these oligarchs. When you start cutting their cash flow off, they have a lot of mouths to feed, and there'll be some rebellion there at some point, place, and time. They've got to go back to Putin and go, enough's enough. You know, we've got to find a solution and get out. If they haven't done that, excuse me, already. So I'm hoping. That, you know, the oligarchs are working on the inside out that we don't know about it. And, you know, we'll continue to take their toys away and cut off their cash flow. You know, one of the simple things we did, I mean, we're looking for every possible thing that we can cut off. Bruce Westerman, who is the congressman from Arkansas, and I served with him on National Resource Committee, you know, he came out with I didn't realize we got timber from Russia.
Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this. It's an interesting story. Yeah, I saw this. You explained to folks.
It's called No Timber from the Tyrant Act, and I was one of the co-sponsors on that, and we're actually, you know, passing that through, and it will go through, and it cuts off all forest products from Russia. So, you know, that's, my memory is about $100 million right there a year in cash flow. Well, you just keep chipping away at that stuff. And, you know, and after a period of time, it gets bad. What I'm most worried about is this fall, you know, the food shortage, especially over in Europe and Africa. It's just going to be a huge, huge food shortage, because there's so much of that grain and, grain coming from the Ukraine area. Well, they can't farm right now with missiles flying over their head. So, I think about 12% of the breadbasket, they referred to it, in the world comes from that area. So that's going to put a real kink in everybody. But the food shortage will actually show up in Europe and obviously in Africa.
Yeah, but the prices, yeah, affect American people, right? I mean, even though that Ukraine to Africa or Ukraine to the Mideast, when you pull that out, then it's going to fill in from somewhere else, and then prices would go up because of lower supply.
Yeah, and we already see that. I mean, inflation's here. You're not old enough, but I remember the days of Jimmy Carter, and it's deja vu all over again.
I remember Mom and Dad talking about him. Yeah, I do remember their commentary.
We're there, and you know, we've got to just figure, you know, we're trying to run the clock out. We're trying to get to November. We're trying to, you know, take the House and the Senate back. You know, we're doing all the things we need to do to get there, but, you know, then we can start trying to, you know, we can force the president to start working with us on some stuff. So, you know, I still have hope. You know, my personality is not to tear everything down. You know, we've got so much to be thankful for in this country. We need to step back every now and then and appreciate where we're at as Americans and try to get some reasonable working order. And that's one thing that's missing in Washington. I mean, there's some wonderful Democrats that I've become friends with. We both got problems on both sides of the aisle. We've got to learn to sit down and be American, not Republicans, not Democrats, but American, and do what's best for America.
Well, and I hope you're successful.
We've done it before, and we'll do it again.
Well, I hope you're successful, but, I mean, part of that success may be having Republicans in control of the House.
Of course it is. I mean, we've got to have some strength here. I mean, all politics is based on strength.
Hey, Congressman, I got the music's come up. If you can hold on, coming right back from the break, more with Congressman Jerry Carl from AL1. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams right here on Right Side Radio. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams right here on News Talk 770, 92.5 FM, WVNN. And coming up here after the top of the hour news, we'll be joined by, we talked to AL1's congressman, and we'll talk to a candidate for AL5. I'm sure about the campaign, but also a lot about Ukraine. Secretary Casey Wardinsky joins us coming up in just a little bit. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to the hardest working man in Alabama media. You hear that, Dale Jackson? The hardest working man in Alabama media. He's on TV, he's in print, and he's on the radio. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, joining us now. Thanks for your time, Todd.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be with you.
And you made it through. Session, you made it.
Whew. Oh, man, just barely. I think everybody involved in the State House, whether it's lawmakers, staff, lobbyists, and, of course, us in the media, I mean, it was an especially challenging session. They went so fast. You go back to January when they started, and they immediately had that special session on all the ARPA funding, remember? I mean, it feels mm-hmm. like a year ago, but that was the beginning. And then ever since then, they went on what these were called 3-day weeks, where they meet Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all in session, passing bills on the floor, where typically they take Wednesday just for committees. And so what it does is it puts the session at such this fast pace that it's really a challenge to keep up with everything that's going on. And so that lasted up until this last week. And so that, you know, on the last day, they had a 15-hour day. They started at 9 o'clock in the morning and went to midnight without any dinner breaks or anything like that. So it was quite a session. Glad it's over, but a lot of consequential things got passed.
Okay, so as you rank those, right? Because I mean, we're wondering about that going into it at the end of a quadrennium. What big tackles would there be? How much would just be political posturing?
Well, I mean, look, I think if you just judge it by what happened on the last day, right, then you would think not a lot happened because it was so much on this transgender stuff, right? You had the bathroom bill.
Yeah, I can get into that, yeah.
You know, you had the treatment bill, and they threw in the parental choice thing. And so much of the headlines coming out were all about transgender, which is appropriate because that's a big deal, and that's what they did on the last day. But you've really got to take the session as a whole and go back and look at 4 months worth of legislating rather than just one day. Look, I think it was a pretty significant session in terms of investments in education, biggest education budget ever, biggest and most significant teacher pay raise in a generation, real important investments in math, where we're really falling behind, workforce development. So I think, you know, it's not as sexy as talking about some really controversial stuff, but I think it was a huge session for education. I think it was, you go back and look at the special in terms of broadband internet and getting all that money out there and those lines laid. It's big for that, big for mental health. You know, we've neglected mental health in the state for a long time, but they're making real investments in getting some of these community centers up and going and revising our commitment laws. So, I mean, there's too much to really fit into just a little bit of time.
Sure.
But I do think it was, if you look at those issues and some of the way that they paid down debt, paid off debt, and still were able to use some of these revenues in responsible fashion, I think it was a pretty successful session.
I do want to get to some of the, because social items get the clicks, get the attention, especially when people are out campaigning. So we'll get to that in a second. But one of them, I want to compare and contrast something from education to the social order. But I got to ask you this. Were you surprised? What were you surprised didn't get done? Anything? I mean, were you surprised gaming died on the vine again?
I really wasn't surprised about gambling because it was just too late, right? It was too late in the session, both for All Britain's wide-ranging bill and for the lottery bill, you know, Chip Brown's bill. So it just, they came too late. There was not a big coalition around it. So no, I wasn't surprised about that. I was not surprised by the school choice bills not really moving from Del Marsh. One thing I was surprised about is this driver's license suspension bill. We've talked about it a little bit.
They advertised a bunch down here, on our
station. You know, it was a bipartisan bill. Senator Barfoot up here was the sponsor in the Senate, where we know that your driver's license gets suspended if you get a DUI or if it's reckless driving or you get, you know, a lot of tickets, speeding tickets. But they also can take your driver's license away and suspend it for just not paying a traffic ticket, or your traffic tickets pile up, or you didn't go to court over a traffic ticket, And so what that does is, you know, if you have your driver's license suspended, you can't really much work. You can't get a job. And so it takes these people out of the workforce at a very time when we have a worker shortage. So there was a bill to really deal with this. It had a lot of support, Republicans and Democrats. And there at the last minute, the last week, it died on the vine. And we got word that the Attorney General was against it. He wouldn't tell us exactly why. There is some litigation with this issue related to this issue at the 11th Circuit, so that's probably why. But he didn't say. So I was a little bit surprised by that because it's a workforce, you know, jobs, business issue, and usually those end up passing in this legislature.
All right. Then the compare and contrast. So, and we might not have time to get in depth. I will later in the show. About the transgender treatment ban, but we can talk a little bit about it. The governor signs off on that, but doesn't sign off on the literacy program to make sure third graders can read at level before they go to fourth grade.
Well, she's still got a few days.
Yeah, how long?
So that bill passed the second to last day, so she has 10 days from that. So really,
you think she sits on this? I mean, why should it be under deliberation? I mean, she's either yes or no on this.
Yeah, if I had to bet, like, just going off of what I've been told from, I've not talked to her, but it sounds like she will sign it. Now, she was okay with a 1-year delay. What they passed was a 2-year delay. So I know that she doesn't like it, but the question is, you know, if she didn't sign it, then really here in a couple of weeks, the state would be holding back probably, you know, thousands of kids. And I'm not sure if the process is, like, the mechanics and everything are there and in place to actually implement that kind of thing.
So we let the kids go on without the skills?
You and I
are on the same page. I'm just, that'd be my question to the governor. Yeah, even if it's tough. It's the right thing to do.
Well, and, you know, I was asking the question because they passed the bill, I think, the second to last day. And so she could have, if she wanted to, sent back over, you know, vetoed it with an executive amendment, basically sent it back to the legislature and changed it from 2 years to 1 year as she had, you know, supported to see what they would do with it. Now, they probably would have overturned it. There were plenty of votes in the House and the Senate. If it was me just betting, I think she probably would sign a 2-year delay, just, you know, kind of holding her nose and supporting it. But the only justification I can, you know, if I'm generous about it, to say that maybe the mechanics aren't in place for what would be a pretty significant holdback of third graders.
Okay, got about 4 minutes before we got a break. Todd, but let's talk about this. The newly enacted law you write in the email this morning, Alabama's newly enacted law making it a felony for doctors to prescribe gender transition medications to minors, is being challenged in federal court. That didn't take long.
No, I think it was the next day.
Yeah.
or at least they announced, you know, the ACLU, SPLC, all, and really it's parents. It's the parents of transgender teens. It's doctors who are involved in this. And but they're aided by these groups like ACLU to they said, we're going to sue. They did that yesterday. And so we always knew these things were going to court. So it's not really a surprise. What I'm looking for specifically on the bathroom bill, you know, they added in some of the, first we'll start with transgender treatment. This is really, from as far as I know, the only law of its kind in the country. I know other states have pursued this. I'm not sure if any have signed into law. So we might be getting into really uncharted territory in terms of, you know, can states, you know, ban these types of treatments for minors. You know, to hear the advocates of the bill, it's the same thing as, you know, outlawing cigarettes or alcohol, you know, up to a certain age. But you're also getting into doctor-patient, you know, and parent confidentiality. And so it will be an interesting court case, one that might end up going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to move on, yes, beyond our state. And we're going to talk more about that later on in this hour. Remind folks, too, that you've finally gotten back to what's your normal schedule now? Because people, you know, who didn't follow you realize that Capital Journal and Alabama Daily News were at you every day. What are you doing now? What's the relaxed schedule?
Well, Daily News is daily. I mean, it's in the name. So every day we actually don't publish on Saturday, but so Sunday through Friday we publish a daily email. That's everything you need to know. I know a lot of your listeners in Mobile get it every day. A lot of folks in Huntsville do too. It's really easy to sign up and it's free. Just go to aldailynews.com, click sign up, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. But yes, the programming for Capital Journal, it goes from being a daily show to a weekly show, and I'm very grateful for that. But yes, we got a good show planned for Friday. It's Friday nights at 7:30. On APT, also re-airs Sunday at noon. But most folks like me catch it online or catch the podcast.
That's when I do it. Any like, can I get a sneak peek here? Will there be a clip where Governor Ivey is saying, "No way, Jose"?
We don't have the governor on this week. Looking forward to that in the weeks to come. Congressman Barry Moore is going to be on the show. Also, David Cole from the Business Council of Alabama talking a little bit about their session. And I hope to have some more folks kind of reacting to the session and catching up on some of the less talked about bills that passed.
Man, Todd, as always, I enjoy your wisdom on this. Thank you, and I appreciate you being on.
All right, Sean, be good.
There he goes. That's Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Come back. I want to talk about this. Is it you heard Todd mention this. So is this idea of making it a felony for doctors to prescribe gender transition medications to minors, is that the same as saying, you know, the kids can't be drinking, they can't be smoking underage, or is that government telling parents what to do with their kids? Is it the same? Are these things equivalent on there? You give us a call. We'll talk about that. Also, Casey Wardinsky joining us here in just a little bit. And I give you the phone number, right? As I have it written down, I should know it by heart, but I'm just, I'm with you. I know where I am. I know I'm at News Talk 770 AM and 92.5 FM WVNN. And the phone number, 866-494-9866. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. AM 92.5 FM WVNN 866-494-9866. Hey, Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams today. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to folks on the north end of the state. I'm from down here in southwest Alabama, Mobile and Baldwin counties. Maybe you come through here on vacation. Check us out at 106.5 or online. And a conversation we're having just a second ago with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Do you think it's an interesting question, or is it? Is it a challenge? Because the detractors of the newly enacted law here, making it a felony for doctors to prescribe gender transition medications, so little Johnny or little Susie, right? They're challenging this and going to challenge it in federal court. And I do agree with Todd. I think this is something that could go to the Supreme Court. Because I know where I stand on it, but is it worth exploring this question that is this the same as saying, hey, parents, you can't give your children tobacco. Hey, parents, you can't give them drugs. You can't give them alcohol, right? It's against the law, even though they're your children. It's against the law versus somebody saying, actually, what this law is doing is getting in the way of parents making a decision. I got to be frank with you, and I can't imagine making that decision. I'm the father of two, and I can't imagine making a decision to give my children, not adults, not of the age of majority, my children, a drug that will change the rest of their lives, even if they decide they're going to transition to something else down the road. Making this kind, I can't imagine it. But is there any kind of argument to be made by those that would want to do away with a law like this, that this is actually, in fact, not just a doctor-patient situation, but a parental rights, right? So we conservatives will talk about parental rights, what we want taught in our schools, not taught in our schools, which is another part of the transgender discussion. This idea that for some reason we need to teach anything dealing with sex to children in fifth grade down to kindergarten is beyond ridiculous. But the idea that that is a parental right to say, you can't do that, that's my child. I'm going to make that decision, to have that conversation if we do it at a later time, or maybe when it's appropriate in the school when they're older. Lord knows there's enough time in life for people to talk about who they like or who they identify. It populates 50% of Twitter. So is it a parental rights question? Even though it seems so wrong that you would have somebody saying yes for their children to take something that is going to change their outcome going forward, do they have any leg to stand on and challenge this as a parental rights situation? So it's one of the questions. We can keep this going through our discussion on the show today. Got a lot of guests coming up, but we'll have some chances here that you can hop in and give us a call. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll have a discussion with AL5 candidate for Congress. Now, he is a guest quite a bit on Jeff Poor's show down here on FM Talk 106.5, Casey Wardinsky. And we'll talk about the campaign some for AL5. But I've got to, when you have Secretary Wardinsky on, we've got to talk about what's going on in Ukraine. See that? The claim of chemical weapons attack made by the Ukrainians said that the Russians used them. Is that enough? It's one of the questions I've asked on my show down here in Mobile so many times is, what is an Article 5 violation? Does it physically have to be a tank or a soldier or even a missile from Russia striking a NATO country? Or could it be a situation where you had a chemical attack and it drifted across the border into a country like Poland? Or what about a situation where you had the situation going on at Chernobyl and other nuclear facilities? What if you had that and you had the radiation drift over a NATO country? Does that trigger Article 5? I think these are questions, as this war, I don't think, is going away anytime soon, are worth talking about. And also, is what Vladimir Putin looking for in the area of eastern Ukraine? I know we talk a lot about the people of eastern Ukraine, and they're more Russian than the western part of Ukraine, language-wise, culture-wise. But also in eastern Ukraine, we have big natural gas deposits. Well, what does the petrostate of Russia run on? Oil and natural gas, right? So you have big natural gas deposits there in eastern Ukraine. In addition, you have lithium deposits, which will be the oil of the future. So does Vladimir Putin take over those areas in eastern Ukraine, maybe using the guise of, I'm here to save the true Russian people, bring them back into Russia, at the same time gains that footprint of those natural resources, and then sues for peace? Some of the questions we'll talk about with Secretary Wardinsky when we come back right here on Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams right here on WVNN.